Bless your sister, Janet. Appreciate the song. Sorry about getting in your way. I want to share some scripture with you from the 19th chapter of the book of Job. If you would care to read along with me, please turn there to Job chapter 19. And I would encourage all of you to read this entire chapter in your own private study, in your own private time. But I want to introduce the message today. I want to begin reading with verse 14. Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 14. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And I want to stop reading there with verse 27. The thought that I have today to share with you, I really struggled. I've always felt the necessity of trying to title a message, and I really struggled with this one of the title to use. And so I believe today I would just like to talk to you about what I consider to be security. I want you to think about something today in which there is great security. And I want to say this, that the things that I have to say today, I suppose, are primarily to those who are saved. If you're not saved here today, I pray that you will be saved today. But for those of us who have been saved, we are without doubt the most secure people in the world. We have security. We don't know what we are going to face in this life. I know that probably a lot of times we may prefer not to even read things like what we read here in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, all of these things that happened to this man. Job, the Bible tells us when we begin our studies in the book of Job, it tells us about this man named Job and says that he was a perfect man, an upright man. I believe he was mentioned perhaps in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Job was a man that shunned evil, eschewed evil. He reverenced God. He feared God. He lived a very good, godly life from what we read about in the scriptures. Job had a great love for God. I mean a tremendous love for God. He had a love that when everything around him began to crumble, he wouldn't turn his back on God. He wouldn't curse God. He wouldn't blame God for any of it. In fact, we can read in the first couple of chapters of the book of Job, when great calamities begin to fall upon his life, that he worshiped God. He praised God. He knew that the things that he had, that the Lord had gave them to him, and he also acknowledged that it was the Lord that could take things away. And so we can see in the book of Job, this man suffered many, many trials in his life. I hope and pray that none of you will ever have to sit down and perhaps write in a journal or a diary or whatever you may keep, or even just go over these things in your mind and have to sit there and write down the things that Job did that happened in his life. I hope you never face all of those things, but I do know that there'll be things that we'll face. I do know that as we pass through this world, we're going to suffer loss. We're going to suffer heartache. We're going to have troubles. Everything's not going to be easy. It was never promised to us that being servants of Christ would be easy. The Lord never promised us a bed of roses, did he? What he did tell us was that we would have trials and we would have tribulations. And Job here told us about how that he had been forsaken of his kinfolk, how that his friends had turned against him, how that his own wife had turned against him, and how that young children despised him. I mean, I thought about when he made the statement, "My breath is strange even to my wife." And I don't read in the book of Job, I don't read what Job in his time, I've never read where he was guilty of what a lot of men of that day were. As far as I know, Job only had one wife. He was not guilty of polygamy, but even his, he said the breath of his wife, or his breath rather, had become strange even to his wife. There was even a great break of fellowship, obviously, between him and his wife. Sometimes I think in the things of this world and in our lives, sometimes I'm afraid that we may deceive our own selves in thinking that we are secure in something when really we're not. To be quite honest with you, the only security that we do have is in God. I mean, the only thing that I can stand today as I stand before you and bring this message, the only things that I can tell you that I am certain about is what God has done for me in my life and what that is going to do for me in the future. I'm certain of those things today. That's something that I am able to grab onto. Something that I can grasp and know that it is solid and it's certain and it's steadfast. And I have things in God that I am never going to lose. No matter what happens, no matter what befalls us as God's people in this life, We have something that we can hang on to that we know is real and we know is eternal and we know where it will land us when this life has finished. Job knew that. And I love to read these things, and in the midst of all of these trials and troubles and heartaches that Job faced, we find in the towards the end of this reading lesson that there was something there that Job took great pleasure in, and something there that he took great consolation in. And let's think about this again for just a moment. He said, my kinsfolk have failed me. My familiar friends have forgotten me. My breath is strange to my wife. Young children despise me. My inward friends abhorred me. My bone cleaveth to my flesh. And then in the verse 25, he tells us of something that gave him great hope and that gave great light, that cast great light upon all of these trials that he was talking about. And that was, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that what I have in him is safe and secure. I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that after the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Those of us who are saved by God's grace, we don't even have to worry about our body one day being buried, do we? We don't even have to be concerned about that. We don't have to worry about the fact that this body that we have lived in here on the earth and have lived in for a while, when our spirit and our body are separated one day in death, and the spirit goes there to be with God in heaven, and that body is laid in the ground. We don't have to worry about that because we know there's going to be a great resurrection one day. We know that the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth, and we will have a brand new body. Amen. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I know that he did because he's living in my heart today. He couldn't do that if he never rose, could he? He rose. So I know that my Redeemer liveth. Yes, Job, you know, I never met him. I never knew this man named Job. He lived long ago. In fact, many believe that the book of Job, I don't know how to date it. I don't know where to place it chronologically. Many believe that the book of Job is one of the oldest books that there is that we have in the Bible. I don't really know the time frame exactly in which Job lived. I never met the man. He lived and died long before I was ever even thought of, but I know this, he was my brother. He was my brother. And I have the same hope and the same confidence in the Lord that he had. My Redeemer lives. In my time, he's already been. Job envisioned a time when his Redeemer would come. In the time that we live, our Redeemer has already come. He has paid the sin debt. He has made the way for us to be saved. And I thank God today for the salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm hearing of a lot of people losing their jobs. My son-in-law, after 18 years, lost his job. Many people losing their jobs. And you know, that has never been one of the things in which we have been secure. We can experience times in our lives when things are well with us financially. We can. In fact, sometimes we can get a little bit too comfortable in those things, can't we? I mean, sometimes we can even deceive ourselves, I think, into thinking that, you know, things will always be this way with me. But you know, the things that we have, if we look at things and take an honest perspective of the things of this world, the things that we have in this world, we don't know how long they're going to last. We don't know what we're going to have from one day to the next. We don't know if the same day that brings us prosperity before that day closes won't bring us poverty. I mean, things can change quickly in your life. You read the book of Job in the first couple of chapters of Job, and that's exactly what you'll find out and learn about the life of a person, that the things of this world can change drastically overnight. They did for Job. In the course of a day, I mean, things just completely changed in his life. And we don't know from day to day. We have, you know, known many people. I know many people today that are still living that for a good while they were experiencing good health. I mean, they could get around and do whatever they wanted to do, and they had plenty of energy, and they were not hurting, and everything was okay with their body. And then the next thing you know, they begin to feel bad, and they end up at the doctor, and they are told by the doctor, listen, you have got this, or you've got that, or you picked up this kind of disease or this type of ailment. And friends, our health can change overnight. Overnight. The things that we have, I thought about when I study these things. I thank God for the way that He's blessed me. I do. I thank God. I looked around at what I have right now, and I thank the Lord for what I have. I thank the Lord that Shirley and I have a house to live in, a good warm place to lay down and sleep. But you know what I realize? I realize the truth is that it could all be gone very quickly. And we don't need to, we need to be careful not to gain a false sense of security in those things. The Lord is the one that gives, and the Lord can take away. He can take away. But there are some things that I'm very comfortable in and very confident in. And I know that no matter what happens, you know, I hope that I'll always be able to have friends. I love having friends. I hope that I won't ever have to find myself in the state that Job did, where he had to look around and he said, my friends are leaving me. My friends are forsaking me. My kinsfolk are failing me. They're turning against me. My wife isn't even close to me anymore. I hope I never have to face those things, don't you? But we don't know, do we? I do know this, that there are things that I have loved and enjoyed and immensely and felt blessed with in this life, that I have to understand the reality of this, that they are but temporary. They're temporary. I mentioned this one time in a sermon, and Brother Joey didn't like it. He told me he didn't like it. But I remember, it doesn't seem like very long ago, that I had little kids running around my house. I mean, I had such a good time with them, hearing them, you know, run across the floor and saying, Daddy, and asking me for things. And I had such a blessed and wonderful time raising my children. But before I knew it, they were gone. They were grown and they were gone and they were living out on their own and they weren't dependent upon Dad anymore the way that they were before. I know that when my wife and I set our vows in October of 1977, when we set our wedding vows, I know that what we said to each other was temporary. You know why? Because we pledged our faithfulness and love to one another until death dissolves it. Until death parts us. And I know that even those vows that we made in marriage won't last. They're temporary. Things that I know in this world will be gone one day. But when I lay down to die, when I'm breathing in for the last time, when my eyes close in death and my life here is finished, I'm taking something with me. I'm taking what the Lord gave me when He saved my soul. My Redeemer lives. He's alive today. He lives. He's right now, He's seated at the right hand of God, and He's dwelling in my heart as well, and in the hearts of all that are saved. And we are just as safe and secure in that as you could possibly ever be in anything. Yes, you know, things can befall us. You know, we may end up facing the same scenario that Job did, or at least in one way or another, but we have that same hope and that same bright consolation that we know that our Redeemer lives and we know what He's done for us and we know that we're safe in that and we know that we're eternally secure. And it's the one thing, friends, that I have today that nobody can take away from me. Nobody. I've had things in my possession that somebody took away. Somebody came, the thief came and stole them and took them away. But nobody can take what God put in my heart when He saved my soul. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'll tell you something else that Paul was persuaded about, and I want to read it to you from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans in verse 37 through 39. Paul said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the store or the factory or whatever it is, if they can't make a go of it anymore, if they don't have business, they can shut it down and they can terminate your job. They can. If we are not able in things that we have, in houses that we have mortgaged, if we can't meet our end of the bargain there, end of the agreement, and make the payments, they can shut it down. They can take it away from you. I mean, there's really things that we have in this world. Friends, we can lose them and they can be taken away from us. But Paul wrote and said, there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen. You think about that. I don't have to have any money to keep it. I don't. I don't have to have a dime to keep it. I mean, if I go flat, broke, belly up, I can still keep it, can't I? I mean, there's not a thing that can take that away from me. The Apostle Peter wrote, and he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When it's all said and done, Brother Lowe, when it's all over, when my life comes to a close, you know what? If somebody's got to take my body and just take it out somewhere and toss it in a ditch and get rid of it, I will still be saved. It won't make any difference. If somebody else has to pay my funeral cost, I will still be saved. If I leave this world and I don't have a dime to my name to leave to anybody else, I will still be saved. If I get sick tomorrow, if I get told tomorrow, you have got cancer or whatever that it is, and you're not going to live very long, I will still be saved. Nothing, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are safe and we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have him, whatever you gain in this world, it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Because we came into the world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. Literally, Job put it this way, that he came into the world naked, and literally we did. None of us were even born with the clothes on our back. We had to be dressed after we were born. We came in owning nothing, and when we get ready to leave, it's going to be the same way. We're going to leave with nothing. But if you found salvation along the way, then you found the pearl of great price. You found it. You have found what it's all about. And so that's where my hope lies today, and that's where my security lies, in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me when he saved my soul. I thank you for your attention this morning. I hope you feel that. If you've been saved, I hope it's more than just a sermon the preacher tried to preach. We need to feel that, and we need to cling to that, and we need to know that, hey, you know, no matter what happens, we're good. We're saved. We're going home here before too long. And one way or another, God will help us make it through. He will help us make it through. So I thank you for your attention today, and I pray God's richest blessings upon all of you. The ladies told me that they need enough time to